Hey y'all, this is Bud Elliott with the Nolcast Instant Reaction Show, brought to you by Louisiana Hot Sauce and Madison Social. As always, the Instant Reaction Podcast is unedited and we go live to upload for you so we can get this out to you as quickly as possible, whether you're driving home from the game, whether you're wanting to hear some more stuff about the ballgame. And what a game this was. Florida State ends up losing it 37-35, and we have a lot to talk about, so much that I'm probably not going to be able to fit all of this into the Instant Reaction Podcast. To start, the defense was about as bad as we thought it was going to be, which is to say it was really bad. North Carolina, 538 yards, 7.7 yards per play on 70 total plays, only 37 total points. Part of that was because they fumbled there later in the first half when they were potentially going in for a score. Granted, that was a forced turnover, I guess, if you want to use that term. But the fumble did fall to FSU. 25 minutes time possession for North Carolina, 35 for Florida State. FSU's secondary and its linebackers, and specifically its star position there, Marcus Lewis, and then later in the game, Kyle Myers, and its linebackers were just victimized all day, just over and over again. Constantly guys running too open, defenders not in position where they could actually contest a throw, and that's how you end up giving up 37 points. And I feel like 37 points doesn't even really fully encapsulate how the defense played. 538 yards on only 70 plays probably does a little better. 7.7 yards per play probably shows a little bit better tale. The defense did not get the kind of push that they needed to get against that North Carolina defense or offensive front. DeMarcus Walker had a couple good plays, but he certainly didn't dominate the interior of the defensive line, despite us being told this week that they practiced fully and that they were more healthy. Didn't really dominate all that much. North Carolina picked on Marcus Lewis. Florida State took him out because he, again, was just not in position. Then they picked on Kyle Myers, who, while he was more consistently in position, at least playing his actual assignment and actually getting lined up, he athletically didn't match up all that well with Ryan Switzer. Very problematic there for the defense that they didn't make a whole lot of changes. And yet, I feel like I have to spend time on the defense because that's what people want to hear, that they want to vent about the defense. They want to talk about how bad the defense was. But if you've listened to the show, you knew we said Florida State needed to score 40 points. This is an offense with a quarterback who's going to play in the NFL with probably three or four NFL receivers. Pretty good offensive line. They put up points on just about everybody with the exception of the Georgia game where they just forgot to run the football. Last week, I believe they scored 37 as well on Pitt. You know, 405 passing yards is concerning. Florida State did stop the run fairly well, 133 on 32, and that includes three sacks. So maybe the average is a little bit higher than that. Look, it's very clear that whatever the defensive staff is trying to do, they're not accomplishing it. They're not getting pressure on the quarterback. They're not being aggressive. They're not being physical. When they're not trying to be aggressive, when they're trying to play coverage or trying to be assignment sound, that's not happening either. If Charles Kelly didn't have such a big buyout, I really think, and you know, he had that 4 or 5 year extension, I strongly think he might be fired midseason. But who would you bring in? Who would call the defense? Would it be Bill Miller, whose linebackers have been even worse than Charles Kelly's secondary this year? I'm not so sure that firing Charles Kelly midseason does much for you. But I am sure that message is not getting across. My concern is more that the message throughout the program is not getting across. And I'm concerned because last year, our sources inside the program told us, hey, pump the brakes. This is not going to be a good team. We're probably going to lose at least three times. And they did, if you count the bowl game. They ended up overachieving a little bit and went 10-2 against a schedule that was, you know, kind of iffy. The defense made big-time strides last year, even adjusted for opponent. It was one of the best defenses in the country. It routinely carried this offense. And this year, it's regressed. And part of that is certainly injury. You know, they're having to play Nate Andrews more, which is not working because Nate's just not very athletic and he gets picked on a lot. They don't play seem to play very, very in sync when they blitz. They don't seem to play with a lot of sense about them, right? If you're blitzing and you're trying to force a short, quick throw, don't play 8 yards off and then backpedal out of that, which happened today. They really don't force a lot of difficult throws. They allow a lot of easy completions, but they're easy and not short, right? If you want to allow easy completions, they need to be short, and then you can go tackle them. Well, they allow some of those too, and unfortunately, Florida State does not set the edge. They don't play physical. They don't come up and stone blockers. Instead, they allow a very soft edge. And soft is a word that I think you can use to describe this team, both physically soft and mentally soft. I don't know if they're hitting in practice as much as they used to. Obviously, media totally banned from practice, and Florida State is 1-2 against FBS teams since excuse me, 2-2 against FBS teams since that move happened. Not that that matters. It's a side issue. But this defense doesn't hit anybody. They don't run through blockers. They catch blocks. They're far too easily allowed to be blocked. They don't play with a lot of smarts. They give some dumb penalties. And yet, I feel like if I can see this, and you can see this, and everybody at home can see this, then the head coach, Jimbo Fisher, should see this too. And in the long term, that potentially means making a change at defensive coordinator, because this is not, it's not happening. The message is not getting through. Independent of, look, Florida State has played just some awesome offenses so far. I don't think anybody's played tougher offenses than Florida State. And yes, Florida State has dealt with a lot of injuries on defense. There's no doubt about it. But at the same time, given the quality of athlete you recruit, the inability to put them in a spot where they are even remotely close to the intended target to make a play is unacceptable. In the short term, though, let's go back to this. If I can see it, and you can see it, shouldn't Jimbo Fisher see it? Shouldn't he know, hey, this defense is going to give up points, a lot of them. The offense absolutely has to play like it's going to need to score 6-7 touchdowns, at least until you get a couple of guys a little more healthier on defense, maybe until you get a few more things fixed on defense. And yet, what happens? The same old coaching scared. You know, Jimbo Fisher's team came out scared. He coached scared. And then ultimately at the end, they choked. They had a nice comeback. Why did they need to have a comeback? Part of it was because they gave away possessions in the first half. FSU lost this game not with 23 seconds left. Look, that's when North Carolina officially retook the lead after FSU took it briefly. The giving away of possessions, not going for it on 4th-and-2 from the 28-yard line, and instead trying to kick a field goal from there, is just bad coaching. It's just, it's not defensible. Even if the field goal is good, which it wasn't, I would still criticize this decision, and it's a big deal because it gives away a possession. You have got to value the football. Florida State crossed the 50 five times in the first half and scored one touchdown. Then it got the ball again in its own half on its 25 with 1:07 left and a timeout. With all of its athletes it has and a big arm quarterback who, look, I'm pretty sure Jimbo Fisher doesn't trust fully, but if you're in that spot and you're down 21-7 and you know North Carolina gets the ball, I found Jimbo Fisher's answer tonight where he talked about, well, if you go 3-and-out and then North Carolina gets the ball and they score and then they're getting the ball and they're up, you know, 28-7 with the ball coming out of half. I found that to be wholly unacceptable. That is really coaching scared. It instills a sort of sense of doubt in your players. You're not up two touchdowns. You're down two touchdowns. You need to maximize your possessions. You need to coach with the mindset that your offense has to score points. Nobody should be in a better position to know how bad this defense is than Jimbo Fisher, who is the head coach, who also is in charge of the offense, who gets to see it every single day at practice. He calls plays against this defense at practice. He should 100% know how bad this defense is. And Jimbo Fisher lost this game for Florida State just as much as the defense did. I know people don't want to hear this because he coached like this was going to be a 28-21 game, not a game played in the high 30s. All these field goal attempts, just not smart. Bad coaching. Fourth and two, you're moving the ball. Florida State had 7.9 yards per play on Saturday. Almost 600 yards of offense, and they scored only 35 points. Why? Because of bad coaching decisions, in part. Trying to kick a field goal there from the 28-yard line with a kicker who you know has been up and down, as opposed to just trying to get 2 yards, which you did very consistently on the day. Bad decision. If you don't get it, you're still sticking North Carolina at like the 29. That's fine. If you do get it, you can go on, you can try it again to score a touchdown. Maybe you can even bury them deeper. Maybe you can kick an easier field goal if you end up with like a 4th and 7 or something. 4th and 2 from the 28 is bad. Not even attempting to score with over a minute left and a timeout from your own 25 when you're down 2 touchdowns is bad. Look, Jimbo Fisher didn't value those possessions. And you know how many possessions he got for the rest of the game? Just 4. And Florida State scored a touchdown in every drive it had in the second half. The problem is, it only scored 1 touchdown in the first half. That's where it lost this game. North Carolina's defense is just as bad as Florida State's, and maybe worse. And Florida State should have been able to put up a lot more points than they did, but because of the ultra-conservative coaching of Jimbo Fisher, they didn't. They only scored 35. They could have easily scored 42, 49. Part of that was on the players as well. You know, you had guys who made silly mistakes with tight ends and receivers false starting. I think you had 4 blocking penalties on receivers and running backs and tight ends. Just sloppy play, undisciplined, mental errors. You had Travis Rudolph, who everybody claims is the number one, and we're always a little bit hesitant on that. He dropped a touchdown pass, a pretty long one, from DeAndre Francois. And then you have Francois take 2 awful sacks that were absolutely his fault and not the offensive line's fault on first down when he had a chance to either scramble or just throw the ball away and live to play another down. Florida State tonight, they had at least 4 plays on every drive. They did not have a 3-and-out. And yet, I got to say, if you can be disappointed in an offense, I think you have to be here because this is college football. Points are needed. You have got to score points. And 35 just doesn't get it done. And it's especially disappointing when you know that the other offense is probably going to light up your defense. So it does change the way that you need to play. You can't play like you have Nick Saban's defense behind you like Jimbo Fisher did at LSU, or a defense like in 2013 where every single person is going to the NFL. That's just not smart. 223 rushing yards, 372 passing yards, 13 penalties for 120. Pretty awful on third down. 2 of 2 on fourth down. Should have probably had at least 4 fourth down attempts. 7.9 yards per play. Can't fault that. 5 of 5 in the red zone. Can't fault that. But it's just the giving away of attempts to score. That's the main issue. Florida State, it scored 5 touchdowns on 10 drives. If you go for it there on that fourth down, and you at least try to do something before the half, how many more points do you think you have? 7? 3? 10? Probably enough to beat North Carolina, who, by the way, gifted you something after a disaster possession. North Carolina has one of the best punt returners in the nation in Ryan Switzer, who had an enormous day catching the football, but he's a beast returning punts. And yet, I mean, he had 14 catches for 158 yards and another carry for 7. North Carolina, for some reason, decides it wants to block a punt as opposed to just setting up a return for arguably the most dangerous punt returner in the country. And it roughs Logan Tyler to keep FSU's drive alive. If that doesn't happen, this game is not even close enough for North Carolina to kick a game-winning field goal because it doesn't have to. Florida State's offense got an absolute gift there, a total gift, just from a boneheaded decision by North Carolina. Well, the offensive line on the day was pretty good. I thought the receivers, with the exception of Rudolph's drop, were pretty good. I know Wilson made a really nice catch on a ball thrown behind him. I thought Francois was not very good, although he didn't have a turnover, which was good, obviously. I don't know what in the world this defense would have done if it had had to stop people with turnovers. So we asked Jimbo Fisher two questions. We asked him the first one, which I already talked about in the press conference, and David Visser, our managing editor, asked both these for our Tomahawk Nation team. The second question was, what does the team have left to play for? And, you know, Jimbo actually slipped up here and said something pretty stupid. He started to blame the playoff for this playoff or nothing mentality, which is a decent point, but not one that you should really make when your team just lost at home as a double-digit favorite to North Carolina. Again. And then he said, quote, "Who cares?" before catching himself. I know a lot of y'all care, but will you care for the rest of the year? I don't know. I'm interested to look at our podcast numbers. I'm very interested to see if people fill that Champions Club, if people want to renew their Champions Club seats. Obviously, I'm going to keep doing the job. But I have a serious question now as to whether this is more than just a Charles Kelly problem. Jimbo Fisher is the one who fought to keep Charles Kelly when Auburn was trying to go after him. He's the one who got him, you know, and they got that big contract extension. If Charles Kelly is as bad as people think, and I think he's clearly doing a bad job, I don't know that he's a terrible coach overall. Maybe he's just a bad fit right now or something. But if he's as bad as people think, what does that say about Jimbo Fisher and his hiring of assistant coaches? It's just a huge miss? I don't know. Or maybe there's a bigger cultural issue going on within this program. It's one thing when you're a change agent and you come in and people have been playing really poorly and you come in with a new vision, a new message, and you're able to recruit players who are really hungry not only to be great but also to change a program around. You know, you're Timmy Jernigans and your Telvin Smiths and those type guys. And you're obviously your Jameis Winston, which is a whole nother conversation as far as everybody wants to bring up the idea, hey, can Jimbo Fisher be a great coach without Jameis Winston? And my counter to that has always been and will continue to be that team also had 20-something other NFL players who were either starters or regular contributors. So it was not just Jameis Winston, although obviously he's the best player on the team. Do you think Jimbo Fisher's message is getting through to these guys like it was in previous years, you know, in 2011, 2012, 2013, when he was trying to build something? Do you think there's maybe a good versus great, you know, good is the enemy of great idea going on here where a lot of players come in, they expect to be developed for the NFL, but are they really driven quite like other teams under Fisher were? I don't know. I don't get to watch practice. I just know what I hear. And a lot of the stuff I hear isn't good. And I'm wondering if it's reactionary stuff because my sources who are actually on this staff, and who knows if they'll get fired, they all told me last year, hey, this team's not going to be very good. You know, don't hype this team up. And I agreed with them. This year, they all thought this team was going to be very good. And there was no attempt to pump the brakes at all, not in private conversations, not on booster tour stops. So, you know, did Jimbo Fisher misevaluate his team this badly? You know he had to feel really good about it in order to invite Showtime in, right? And this team is trash. They're probably going to lose another game and probably another game on top of that. There's a very good chance they lose four games. If things go really wrong, they could potentially lose five games. Is that something that they need to have happen in order for some changes to be made, both on the defensive coaching staff, but also perhaps on the offensive approach? I don't know. But I don't know that the message is getting across like it used to. And I think that has to concern Florida State fans. So I'd be very interested in your feedback. You know, do you think that Jimbo Fisher is capable of getting this program back to where he had it in 2013? And not to say the 2013 team level, but just a national championship level team. Because this is the first one after 2013. Obviously, 2014 was a very unique set of circumstances. This is the first one where people thought, and people on the staff thought, hey, this is going to be a really good team. And it's not. And it's not necessarily because of talent. It's effort, coaching, discipline, team concept. A lot of these nebulous things that are hard to define until you see them, and then you realize, man, they don't have it. Can Jimbo Fisher get that back? Can he get the 100% buy-in that it takes to play championship-level football from his team as opposed to the 90% buy-in? Can he afford to keep Charles Kelly on staff next year? Even if, let's say, for instance, and I don't think this is true, but let's say hypothetically that it was the player's fault. Those players aren't believing in that staff right now. Now, they say all the right things, but there's no way they believe in the staff. Can you actually risk bringing this defensive coaching staff back? I don't know. Not if they have a couple more of these. Now, if they get parts of this thing righted, maybe you make a change or two on the defensive coaching staff and not flip the whole thing. But right now, it's not going too well. Things at Tallahassee are not real good. The season is over. Jimbo Fisher can say it's not over. No. If you hype this team up like that staff did, and you lose to North Carolina and Louisville, North Carolina at home, and you give up 63 points to Louisville, and you only have 130 yards or whatever it was on offense against Louisville through three quarters before they pull their starters, and you give away possessions like this on offense at home to North Carolina, a trash defense that's worse than your own. No, this season is definitely over. We'll keep breaking it down, but this is a little bit more negative than I thought it was going to have to be on a Saturday, and I guess I should have stuck with my original thought that North Carolina was going to upset this team. I thought getting back some starters on defense would be able to hold them to, you know, in the 30s, which they did. My prediction was 42-34. They ended up scoring 37, so I guess I was off by 3 points, but I really thought this offense would put up over 40 points and needed to, and the approach did not match the awful defense that Florida State had been playing and played again today. And that's a coaching error. So, as always, interested in your feedback. This has been the Nolcast Instant Reaction Podcast, brought to you by Madison Social, brought to you by Louisiana Hot Sauce. Please make sure to hit up Madso for brunch and get one of those Nolcast Bloody Marys, which is a house Bloody Mary with a nice slider on top with a couple of dashes of Louisiana hot sauce. Be sure to check out Louisiana Hot Sauce's fine line of products and tune in again on Tuesday after Ingram Smith and I, my co-host, go over and discuss the game a little more in depth after we've had time to review it. Take care, y'all.